I am Sir Francis Stockard, lead chaplain for this biennium, Sora Tasha Gray. Co-chaplain is also on, and she will be following with our prayer. First of all, just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming in this morning. Blessed New Year 2024. Many of us did not think we would make it to 2024, but here we are. So, thank you. Thank you, thank you for spending this first Saturday of the new year with us. I want to start this morning with the scripture, Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And then the King James Version, that was the ESV, King James Version. Puts a little bit more focus on apply our hearts unto wisdom. So that gives us something to do. God is going to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And for me, this means moving into applying, figuring out how to apply our hearts unto wisdom, because we don't have every day forever. All of us have an expiration date. So we have to look to God to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So that's Psalm 90, verse 12. As I consider that verse, there's a book that I am engaging in right now. And, some of you may find it morbid, but I don't. But the book that I'm reading and engaging in right now is called The Top Five Regrets of the Dying. And it's by a woman named Bronnie Ware, an Australian hospice nurse, who, throughout her years of being a hospice nurse, she's discovered kind of some reoccurring themes as people are leaving this earth and transitioning. And I want to just go through those things with us today and help us to govern our lives so that we can really live by Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. As I look at this book and the things that she brings to light are really things that we need to consider every single day on a daily basis. And number one of the insights that she gives from this book, number one, is the very first regret of dying people is, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expect of me. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Unfortunately, this is the most common regret of all, that as people are entering their last days, they begin to think about and reflect on their life. And more often than not, most of us have lived a life that other people expected of us, not the ones that we were ordained by God to live. We are all individuals, unique beings created in the image of God. And most of us are out here living lives that are someone else's or what someone else meant for us to live. And in my mind, that's a slap in the Creator's face to create us as an individual, and yet we're living the life of someone else. Number two was, I wish I didn't work so hard. And she's saying that that came from every male patient, every single male patient that she nursed was, I wish I didn't work so hard. Now, as we move into this era of not really having gender roles and women working as hard as men and that, and Delta is synonymous with work hard. We have to be careful and mindful of the things that we are giving up for this overwork, oversaturated hustle culture that we live in. You want to work such that you sustain what you need to do, your responsibilities and that, but not so much that you forget to smell the roses as you walk through this life, because we only get one of them. Number three was, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. So what she talks about here is that we live in this echo chamber of all of these ideas that we kind of spit out whatever we get in, and expressing who you really are, what your feelings are, we often don't do that for multiple reasons. For job concerns, for family concerns, you know, what do they say that, you know, you don't discuss religion or politics when you're out with people. But being able to have the courage to express who you really are and your own feelings, is that third regret of the top five regrets of the dying. Number four is, I wish I stayed in touch with my friends. And this kind of, you know, bounces off of the other regrets. When you're working hard and that hustle culture and me, 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 more stuff, more stuff, more stuff, you don't have time to keep in touch with the people who really matter, those people who are very important. And through the years, those relationships, just like anything else, become weaker and weaker and weaker until one day you look up and it's been 5 years, it's been 10 years that you have not spoken to somebody you were really close to. No big rift, no big disagreement, just over time that distance has formed if you don't make it a priority. And number five was, I wish that I had let myself be happier. I wish I had let myself be happier. I wish I had let myself be happier. I wish that statement in and of itself means that we have some ability to allow ourselves to be happier. You don't have to walk around looking like you done sucked on lemons. You don't have to walk around, even in the midst of some of the most difficult situations, if you just allow yourself to be happier, then the situation itself can change. Just putting on a smile, we've learned that literally just smiling, literally, stimulates happy hormones and helps you to actually become happier just by putting on a smile, even when you don't feel like it. And it takes less muscles to smile than to frown. So there are times when we can just allow ourselves to be happier. So looking at those top five regrets of the dying and how we can arrange our lives and how we can internalize those, I want to kind of go through them and talk about some practical ways that we can put these things into practice. Once again, Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. For number one, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected me to live. You know, Why don't we just decide today, choose one thing that you would do if you were really living a life true to yourself. So it's choose one thing every single day to work toward that. No, you can't do major upheavals of your life and change everything and become a monk in Tibet or something. No, but every day you can choose to do one thing that moves toward your goal of who you, of living that life that you truly are true to yourself. So if it's travel, if there's something you want to do with that, you can elect to put away $5 a day towards your travel fund. If it's you want to start a business, you can research, one thing a day. Look at if it's a physical business, look at spots where you might want to have your business, price internet platforms, web developers, whatever it is that puts you a little bit closer to that thing you want to do. Hey, if it's just reading a new book, hey, actually going and, buying the book or getting the Kindle version and reading a page a day. If it's memorizing scripture, you can memorize one word a day. You don't even have to memorize one verse a day. You can memorize one word a day and keep adding every single day to that. But moving every single day in incremental steps to move toward that goal of whatever it is that allows you to have the courage to live the life that's true to yourself, not the life that everybody expects you to live. That number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. Some of this is just making sure that you actually plan out some things in your life. You don't have to, you may not need as much as you actually think you do. Maybe it's time to downsize. How many cars do we need? How many square feet in our homes do we need? Maybe you wouldn't have to work so hard if we put our desires and dreams and things into perspective. The other thing is making sure that we actually plan out that vacation and personal days that we get from our employment if we are employed. There was a statistic a few years ago that somewhere between 70 to 80% of vacation days actually go unused. This is time that's already given to you. Now, there are multiple reasons for that and how things would look to the employer if you take this time and that. But there are ways to plan things out with wisdom and discernment. Pray over it, but actually use that vacation time. That's time right there sitting on the table for you to actually not be in this treadmill of work, 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 hustle, 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 getting 4 hours of sleep at night and working the other 20. So let's really be mindful of that. That number three, and that number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. Number three, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. What if you really said what was on your mind? Those hard things, those crucial conversations that we've been putting off sometimes for years, living the life that's true of love and authenticity, not suppressing those feelings all the time. Yes, once again, they have to be expressed with wisdom, discernment, and at the right time, but actually having those conversations, holding in those toxic emotions and that can be the building blocks of some of the disorders, both physical and mental, that we experience in our lives. Some of the hypertension, the diabetes, the cancers, the anxiety and depression, some of those things are from holding in and holding on to those toxic emotions. Why don't we every day, whether it's writing in a journal, writing a letter, text messaging, emailing, if you can't get the words out of your mouth, Maybe somehow getting them on paper, even if nobody is to ever see it, if you want to burn it up afterwards, whatever you want to do. But getting those things out so they don't stay in and fester and become a disorder or a disease, something that we don't need to be dealing with. We're actually causing some of the things that we're dealing with, and not having the courage to express your own feelings. Number four, staying in touch with your friends. That this has been very, very important. As I go through life, and that you find that some of your best friends from college, high school, I even have elementary school friends that every so often you got to send that text message out. You got to send, make that random call during the day. You know they're going to be at work, but at least they can hear your voice on their voicemail. And then they'll call you back when it's more convenient for them. And it's just keeping those lines of communication open. Staying in touch requires effort. So every day we can work on one little thing. If it's just sending a text message out to somebody you haven't talked to in a while, because you don't know what they're going through at the time. That may be the thing they needed just to keep going in this life that we've been given. So make the effort, make the lunch date. Actually make those plans for that girls' weekend or that dinner, or even just nowadays, just a FaceTime call. Girl, I'm gonna call you Saturday at 2. Are you available? No, I'm not available at 2, but at 4 I am. Are you available? No. How about 7? Okay, 7. Let's do 7. Put it as an appointment in your calendar and actually make it a busy time in your schedule so that you can, and it seems artificial when you're doing it. First couple times I did it, just seems artificial because friendships should just flow. I never had to make appointments before. We used to just flow, but now life is busy. And if you let these friendships slide, then it'll be a year, 2 years, 3 years. You look up and you haven't talked to this person. Who knows what can happen in that time? None of us is promised even today, especially not tomorrow. So make that appointment, send out that text message, just do whatever it takes to make that small little connection. And finally, number five, I wish I had let myself be happier. Do you know how much happiness we have that's in our own control? The joy of the Lord is our strength, but our happiness actually is under our control. Let yourself off the hook. Rediscover who you are and what gives you joy. What made just think about it. When you were a little kid, you were a little girl running around, doing whatever you do. What made you the most happiest? Was it climbing trees with the boys? Were you kind of a tomboy growing up? Fine. I'm not saying at this big age to get outside climbing trees, but getting outside and actually enjoying yourself, whether that be walking or running or whatever it is, going camping, going to parks and walking around. Was it, playing with Barbie dolls or that? Is it interior design? Is it cooking? Like, did you enjoy those little Betty Crocker little easy bake ovens? Putting your little stuff in there and letting the light bulb get hot and cook your cake. Is that something you really enjoy? For the new year, maybe take a couple of cooking classes or that and seeing, kind of honing in on your skills, whatever it is, but allow yourself to be happier. You can do that. Everybody can schedule, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes a day, to pursue that thing, whatever it is that makes you a little bit happier. You can do that. You have the time. So, as I just kind of consider this book and God's word and his scripture and how he created us as individuals, we need to take these things to heart because, if these are the top five regrets of the dying, source, we don't want to be there. And we don't know how much time we have left. So let's allow ourselves to go ahead and plan and move beyond so that we're not in those top five. When it's time for us to say our last words, have our last breath on this earth, we don't want to regret anything. We want to be poured out in the sense that we have used every single gift that God has given us, that we are just used up, poured out in a good way, not in a way that is compromising to your health and stressed out, but just that everything inside of you, everything good, everything God created you to be, has been poured out into the world. And you can close your eyes and say, Amen. It is finished. So that's all I have for us this morning, Sorors. Be blessed and thank you. Thank you again for coming in this morning. Thank you. Amen.
Sora, wasn't that good? Thank you, Sora Francis, for reminding us to slow down and really live and enjoy life. And I also want to just thank you for just giving us some practical things to do, some things that we can do in the natural. So now, as we turn to prayer, we can look to God to help us in those areas, right? We're not out here alone. We don't have to struggle to do those things. There is help, and we know where our help comes from, and our help comes from the Lord. So as we do the things in the natural and we turn to God, he can do the things in the super, put his super on top of that natural, and we have a supernatural experience and a supernatural life. So let's now turn to God in prayer. Amen. Let's bow our head and go before the throne and really just clear out. Take some time to clear out the clutter. If there's any clutter in your mind, just relax. Take a few deep breaths. Really just soak it in right now. And just allow God to minister to you through prayer. Lord, we say thank you. We thank you, Father God. We thank you because you allowed us to wake up this morning. There were many people who did not make it to the other side, oh Father God. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you chose to put your breath in our lungs, oh Father God. We thank you, Lord, that we have the functionality of every organ, we have the movement of every limb, oh Father God. We say thank you, Lord. And we want to live a life that is full, oh Father God. Not be one of those who are the walking dead, oh Father God, living but dying inside. We want our spirits to grow, oh Father God. We want to the physical, the things that we do, the natural things that we do to be of growth and to be of good and to be of God, Lord. Lord, we know that there are things that we need to do, oh Father God. But we also know that we have help and our help comes from you. So we thank you that you have given us a helper who is the Holy Spirit, who can help us to do all things, who can give us wisdom and guidance. And so if we don't know what to do, if we don't know what to say, if we don't know how to say it, we can look to our teacher and our guide, the Holy Spirit, to get those practical steps and practical things that we can do. Lord, I'm reminded in the Bible, I believe it was the Apostle Paul who said, I think myself happy. So, Lord, teach us how to think ourselves happy. Even if there is chaos breaking out all around us, oh Father God, teach us, as you said, peace be still. In the midst, oh Father God, we can have peace in the midst of turmoil and trouble, oh Father God, because we have your spirit that is living inside of us, and we have that gift of peace that you have given us. And you've told us that it is not like the world gives us, because the world gives and the world takes away, Lord. But that which you give is eternal, oh Father God. You give a peace that cannot be moved, oh Father God. You give a peace that cannot be shaken. You give a peace that cannot be destroyed, oh Father God. So teach us to hold on to that peace when it wants to run away, oh Father God, when it wants to leave us, oh Father God. If we're going to hold on to anything tight, Lord, teach us to hold on to you, oh Father God. And teach us, oh Father God, to do the things that you have called us to do. You said that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, oh Father God. So you have designed us, Lord. Lord, you knew our names, oh Father God, and you called us even before the foundations of the earth. We weren't mistakes, oh Father God, but you have planned us purposefully, oh Father God, with a purpose and on purpose, oh Father God. So teach us to walk out our purpose, oh Father God. For some of us, if we don't even know what our purpose is, help us to understand what it is, oh Father God. And in the meantime, as you're showing us, oh Father God, teach us to be faithful and committed, oh Father God, and to walk in your ways, oh Father God. Lord, we got to dig deeper into you, oh Father God, because in order to know and understand ourselves, we have to know and understand you, the creator, oh Father God, and your intentions, oh Father God, and your intentions for us, oh Father God. So we want to walk hand in hand with you, talk with you, oh Father God, daily, oh Father God, so you can show us each day which way to go, what to say, how to say it, when to do it, oh Father God, so that we can fully live out our purpose here on this earth, Lord. Lord, we want to die empty, having given our all, oh Father God, and not giving our all to those things that will just fade away, oh Father God, but to the kingdom, Lord. For it is your way of doing things, oh Father God. Help us, Lord, so that as we do our individual things collectively, we are advancing the kingdom of God. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you on this day, oh Father God, and this day forth, oh Father God. Just help us to put one step in front of the other, oh Father God, and to keep moving forward. And if we fall off, oh Father God, help us to not fall into condemnation, oh Father God, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Lord. So help us, oh Father God, to just forgive ourselves because you've already forgiven us and to pick ourselves back up and to continue to move forward. Lord, we thank you for your love, for we know that your love is perfect, oh Father God, and it is what we need, oh Father God. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your protection, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that this day and every day going forth, oh Father God, that we will make sure that we're living a life that is pleasing unto you, oh Father God. You told us in your word to seek you first and your in the kingdom of righteousness for all of these things, every single thing, every resource that we need will be added onto us. But the challenge for us is to seek you. Not seek the things, but to seek you so that we can get the addition and the multiplication in our lives, oh Father God. So we commit to seeking you first, oh Father God. And we pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so it is.
Amen. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sir Francis, for that wonderful message and reminder of how we should just live to our fullest. And something that came to mind as you were speaking was my grandmother and my mother used to say, count your blessings. You know, when you start feeling or down or have regrets, let's just count our blessings. We have so much to be thankful for. Also, I want to thank Swartasha for that awesome prayer. and the entire Council of Chaplains, who do such a wonderful job keeping all of us lifted in prayer as life happens. And so, of course, we must pray without ceasing, as life does not let up. They don't care. Life doesn't care that it's the holiday season. People are dealing with sickness, loss. They're just dealing with life, bereavement. So we just ask that you keep everyone lifted in prayer. And another thing that came to mind as we were going through our meditation and prayer, Sor Venus J. Brown mentioned that she wanted to be intentional. And we need to just be intentional in all that we do and our self-care. Be intentional about it, because all of those things that Francis reminded us of stems on mental health, which is right in step with our programmatic thrust. So we have to show the way, lead the way, but be examples for others to follow. Soul Wars, I want to thank you for being here. Happy New Year. I look forward to the second half of this sorority year as we continue to magnify sisterhood and service. We're going to be strong in sisterhood and service as we finish up this biennium. Be strong, be safe, and love yourselves as God loves us. And I love you, and enjoy your Saturday.